Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And the songwriter says, I will rejoice and be glad. Why do we rejoice? Because there's a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Hallelujah. There is a fountain full of grace, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and it saved me, it came and refreshed me, and it came and washed my sins away. And therefore, I will rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the fountain this morning? How many are glad for rivers? How many are glad for tributaries and streams? Hallelujah. I don't think we realize sometimes that we are a river. But the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. How many know living water is water that's constantly moving, constantly flowing? It's not dead. It's not stagnant. It's not full of algae. It's not full of all those yucky things. It's a constant moving, flowing water. Hallelujah. Living water, water that brings life. Hallelujah. And so, how many know you are a refreshment to those around you? Well, amen. You are a refreshment to those around you. Hallelujah. By what flows out of our inner being. Amen. Whether it be life or death. The scripture says you have the power of life and death in your tongue. What a responsibility that is. Amen. What a responsibility that I have the power to speak life or speak death to situations, to people, to circumstances. Hallelujah. The songwriter says, I choose to rejoice and be glad. A heart of rejoicing. What a good therapy that is. The scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Hallelujah. A merry heart does good like a medicine. How many know sometimes you just need a good laugh? Oh, you just need a good belly laugh. There's not any better therapy than hearing a little baby do one of them belly laughs that they just laugh all over, and you can't help but laugh with them. Amen? I mean, you know, sometimes if you're struggling, you need to find somebody got some belly laugh in them. Amen? That's got some joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, you know, joy is your strength. Not just your joy, but the joy of the Lord. I mean, you know, joy of the Lord is divine. The joy that we have in the Lord is a divine joy. It's not something we necessarily seek after to get. Happiness is connected to our happenings. If everything is happening like it should, then I'm happy, or I have happiness. But how many know the joy of the Lord is not connected to my circumstances? Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah, that there's an inner joy, an inner peace that we have as saints of God and as Christians, that we know that even beyond circumstances, there's the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. And that I receive strength from Him who is divine, who is the source of my joy and of my peace and of my righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm thankful to be here with you this morning. I'm thankful for joy in the house. I'm thankful for worship, and I'm thankful for divine connections. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the saints of God. You know, we've been talking a lot in the last couple weeks about the stories of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, and all of the happenings were happening, pivotal time in the season, and what God was doing in a transformational, transitional time in those scriptures when we begin to read them out of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we begin to see that some things are starting to shift. Amen. We're shifting from an old covenant to a new covenant. We're shifting from a period of darkness and silence to a period of the light and the voice. We talked about John the Baptist being the voice in the earth, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And, you know, as we think about all of those, one of the things that that I love about that scripture and is the connection of Mary and Elizabeth. How many know that's a divine connection? Mary was as good for Elizabeth as Elizabeth was for Mary. Hallelujah. And so I love that the Lord connects us and joins us together with like-minded people, and that we have the right and the privilege to fellowship in the way that we can connect with the people and connect with the body of Christ. How many know it's important to connect with the body of Christ? And part of the reasons why we do conferences is not just to bring in a new speaker or not to just hear another word, but to be able to connect with the body all over the country and outside of the country, bone of our bone, hallelujah, that we can come together, be renewed, be refreshed, be joined, and hear what God is saying, thus saith the Lord, here or in Nigeria or in the Netherlands or in Newfoundland or Canada or Peru, or wherever God is speaking. How many know God's saying the same things? Aren't you glad this morning God's not an American? If I busted your bubble, I'm sorry about that. But how many know sometimes we get a concept, sometimes an American concept, where we think God's an American. So if the economy's bad in America, God's all worked up about it. Or if the government's not doing what they're supposed to do in America, that God's all worked up about it. Or that if things are shifting in America, that it's some kind of indication that God's nervous or angry. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know God's a global God? The God who hung the moon and the stars. Now, let me say, God loves Americans. So I didn't mean it in that way. But how many know we sometimes, we preach from our little sphere of what's happening in our world, only to know that outside of our little sphere, there's all kinds of stuff that happens all over the world every day. Amen. And how many know it doesn't catch God off guard? Hallelujah. But how many are thankful that He is an omnipresent God? And He's just as real and alive in other parts of the world and the country as He is here. Now, I do believe God gives divine direction and divine instruction in America and in every country of the world. And if we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit says, then I believe we can be divinely directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we can receive instruction that will fix our homes, our communities, our government, our nation, and our world. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. The scripture says there would be a famine for the hearing of the word, not a lack of the word. How many know there is not a lack of the gospel? There's a lack of a hearing of the gospel. Jesus would constantly say to those that He would speak to, the multitude, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Hallelujah. Probably every parent or grandparent in here can relate to that. How many of you have children that have ears to hear? But sometimes they just don't hear. We're working on that, you know. Sometimes you have to repeat yourself a couple times. How many know sometimes you have to just stop them in their tracks and look them in the eye and say, I said this. Amen. Because their mind or their focus or their energy is so in another direction that sometimes you just have to stop them and say, listen to me. This is what I need you to do. Amen. God ever had to look you face to face and say, look at me. Listen, this is what I need you to do. Maybe I'm the only one in the room. Hallelujah. But I mean, because we get so in our way and so in our direction of what we need to do sometimes, and we pray in passing, you know, and we figure God's walking along with us, but we forget that He's supposed to be leading and we're supposed to be following. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about the hearing of the word. Jesus constantly said to them, you have ears to hear and yet you don't hear, and you have eyes to see and yet you don't see. How many know the gospel that Jesus preached, when He came preaching the gospel and walking, literally walking on the planet amongst them, He began to say things to them and they heard what He said, but they did not perceive what He taught or what He meant. And so He would preach in parables many times so that they would understand in stories, and sometimes so that they didn't understand in stories. And the disciples would come back to Him and He'd say, Lord, what did you mean by that? And so He would begin to break down what He said and He would explain the things to them. But I want to talk a little bit about hearing this morning. One of the greatest things that I could ever tell you, everybody always wants a new and prophetic word for the new year. What's God saying in 2016? He's saying the same thing he said in 2015. Amen. It's just a continuation of the word he's already spoke from the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. It's the same word. But how many know we need to have an hearing or ears to hear what the Spirit says? So my challenge to you probably today, if I was to say something for a challenge of the year 2016, is to seek after what the Lord is saying to you. How many believe the Lord can speak to you individually? Hallelujah. And he speaks in many different ways. People say sometimes, the Lord never talks to me. The Lord never speaks to me. Hallelujah. How many know the Lord speaks in a lot of different ways? He speaks to us sometimes in our circumstances. He speaks to us through worship. I don't know about you, but when I get in worship, my mind starts going 100 miles an hour, and I start thinking of the things that in directions and word and different things like that. And so he'll speak to you in worship. He'll speak. Can I just tell you, he'll speak to you sometime going down the road in the car in a country music song. Come on. How many know sometimes, maybe you don't like country music. Maybe I should have said pop music. I don't know. But how many know sometimes they've got more revelation than the church does sometimes. But we have to be careful sometimes that we don't get a song book or hymn book theology, that we don't, that our word comes from the word. Hallelujah. And so there's a famine for a hearing of the gospel or the good news of Jesus. The finished work of the cross, or the work of what Jesus came to do. And so we've just went through all of that, the series of the Christmas story, and I love that because I love the whole transition. And when I read the story of, you know, Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist and all of them, and I think what an exciting time it must have been. Amen? After a long period of silence and a period of darkness, all of a sudden God begins to speak again. And news travels around and rumors starting to fly that, hey, Gabriel's been to town. Hallelujah. How many are glad when Gabriel's come to town? The angel of the Lord begins to make a visitation. And he begins to show up at people's houses and he said, I'm about to bring to pass and fulfill everything that I've ever promised. Hallelujah. The time is at hand. Hallelujah. And so God is about to do something great and miraculous and wonderful, and the thing that they have desired to look for. How many know Isaiah waited 700 years? That's a long time, isn't it? Hallelujah. 700 years for some of the prophecies to come to pass, but all of a sudden, the time is upon us. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. So it's such an exciting time. But I want to go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 this morning. And this is kind of the end culmination of Luke 2. The last that we read in Luke 2, the shepherds made known abroad that which they had seen and heard. How many know that's still a mandate to shepherds today? Pastors, shepherds, leaders, to make known abroad what we have seen and heard. Not just in the manger, and not just at the side of the baby's place that the baby laid, but what the heavens were saying. Hallelujah. How many know the heavens opened up to the shepherds and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. I want to proclaim only what I hear the heavens saying. Hallelujah. And so in Luke chapter 2, 21 through 40, we meet a man who's pivotal in this whole story also. And it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Hallelujah. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And we're going to stop there for just a minute. So when the time was accomplished, when 8 days were accomplished, how many know under the law, under the Levitical law, and the mandate, they were to bring the young child Jesus to the temple to be circumcised, as was according to their Jewish custom. Amen? How many know Jesus was a good Jewish boy? Born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law. Aren't you thankful for that? But when their time of her purification was accomplished, which was about a 40-day span, the Leviticus tells us that they were to bring, at the time of her purification, she was to bring the male child to the temple and to offer him to the Lord, and they were also to offer him for the priesthood, because every male that openeth the womb is consecrated unto the Lord. So she is to bring him there, and when they bring him to make an offering to him unto the Lord, they were also to bring an offering of purification and a sin offering. And if you had, if you came from some means and you had the availability, you were supposed to bring a lamb and offer that sacrifice. But if you didn't have, you could bring a lamb, and then you could bring a turtle dove or pigeons for the sin offering. But if you didn't have a lamb, you could bring turtle doves or pigeons. How many know it shows us the kind of offering that Mary and Joseph, again, Luke tells us of the very humble beginnings of this Mary and Joseph who bring this baby Jesus to be offered. And how many know the offering for his purification is turtle doves and pigeons? Hallelujah. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the offering for his purification was turtle doves and pigeons. And so we see that he comes into the temple, and they offer him as a sacrifice, and they offer their sacrifice to the Lord. And it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Everybody say Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I love that. His name is Simeon. Does anybody know what Simeon means? He who hears. I knew some of my camp people would know. Simeon, he who hears. Hallelujah. And so hearing was the name associated with Simeon. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you today about Simeon, he who hears. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or waiting for the consoling of Israel, or waiting for the promises of God, the Isaiah prophecies, the prophecies and the testaments of old to be fulfilled. And so here is Simeon, who is an old man, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I love this, and it says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Hallelujah. And now we've been seeing and hearing about the Holy Ghost, because John the Baptist is filled from the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But how many know the Holy Ghost was not widely given at this time, because it doesn't come to the day of Pentecost? However, there were those who knew the Spirit. Yep. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost people. Anointed people. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How many know he had heard from the Holy Ghost? Because it had not been revealed to him, it had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now the scripture tells us that Simeon was of an old age. And we're going to see Anna introduced here in a minute, and she's of an old age. Hallelujah. But the scripture says, the promise of God says, you will not see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the promises of God in your life? The promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, sometimes we say, well, I have some unfulfilled promises in my life. Anybody have any unfulfilled promises yet that you're waiting on God, that you know God has promised, or you know the word has come forth and God has spoken and you're waiting on those promises to be fulfilled? Hallelujah. So I just encourage myself and say, I must have more days yet. God must have more purpose. God must have more plan for my life. He's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. But I also submit to you this morning that I say that there are promises that my grandmother Ethel prayed and believed God for that are yet to be, that are still walking into those promises. Hallelujah. A woman who come to know God, who had little of nothing but God, who lived by faith, a woman who was a giver, who was a tither, who was faithful to the house of God, who was in an abusive relationship, was married to an alcoholic, raised children, not in church. Yet God got a hold of her life. And when he got a hold of her life, he got a hold of her family, and he changed her. And she started praying over her children and her grandchildren. Hallelujah. And she started ministering to people like my dad. And she started singing him little songs. And you've heard the story of us tell the story of my dad getting saved. My grandmother sang a song to her, and it went like this. Daddy, you can't go with us. You can't be our daddy anymore because we're going on to be with Jesus. Wow, what a song. And it got a hold of his heart one night. And he said, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. I don't know about heaven. But I know about my family and I love my kids. So he said, Lord, if you'll just save me, I'll serve you. And he said, there wasn't no lightning crash and no thunder rolled. But I felt the presence of God come into my bedroom. And he changed my life. And because he changed his life, he changed his history. And he changed his future, and he changed his children. And what was a continual cycle of destruction became a continual cycle of blessing. Hallelujah. And so the prayers and the things that she prayed over our family, I still believe are being fulfilled in this day and this season because somebody dared to stand and say, God, I'm holding on to the promises of God. Hallelujah. And I will see your promises, and I will see the salvation that is to come. And so he had received a promise and said he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. How many know he takes that baby, he who hears Simeon, the last of an old priesthood, intercepts that baby and holds that baby in his arm? Because how many know this priesthood is full of the Holy Ghost, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And he intercepts that baby and he says, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace because I have seen the fulfillment of what you have promised from the ages and the eons of time. You have fulfilled your promise, and I hold today and embrace in my arms the very baby that will be a light to lighten Gentiles and glory to my people Israel. How many know Jesus did not just come to the nation of Israel? He did not just come to the Jewish people, but he came to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory to my people Israel, so that John could quote and say to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. So when we quote John 3:16, I got to throw up my hand and say, I'm one of them. I did not come from the seed of Abraham by birth, but I am one who is born supernaturally of the Spirit of God. And because I believe I have salvation through Jesus Christ, I do not have to live condemned or in condemnation, but I can live in life through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is my portion? Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know Simeon knows the significance of this little 6, 7, 8 pound little bundle he holds in his arms? 40-day-old little boy. Hallelujah. How old is little Joey? Just about, not too much difference in that time. To hold and embrace that little baby in your arms and realize this child is set for the fall and rise of many. This child is going to change history. This child is going to change the nations of the earth. You know, I believe every time a baby comes into the world, there needs to be a Simeon, there needs to be an Anna, there needs to be a matriarch or a patriarch that intercepts that baby and says, let me just hold him for a minute because I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost over this child. I'm going to anoint this baby and I'm going to pronounce blessing over them, and I'm going to pronounce that their steps are ordered of the Lord and they are purposed and destined, and I don't even care the circumstances around their birth, because what it seems like maybe should not have been, but God. Hallelujah, but God. When God steps in the midst of a situation that looks like maybe it should not have been, but can raise that baby up to be a testimony and a marker and say, I was born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. I believe there's some Esthers being born. I believe there's some people that are stepping up to the plate and says, you know what, I was born for this. Hallelujah, I was born for this. I was anointed and appointed. I was destined. I was called, and this is my time. This is my season, and this is my hour to seize the day. Hallelujah. See, I believe a lot of times we are anointed for more than we're walking in. We're purposed for more than we're stepping in. That if we seriously will say, Lord, I have an ear to hear what you want to say to me, go ahead and birth that song in my heart, Lord. Go ahead and birth that message in my heart. Father, go ahead and lead me to connect me to somebody who needs Jesus today. Let me hear your word today, God, that my steps are ordered from you, and let me be a life changer to somebody. Hallelujah. Let me be a vessel that changes circumstances, that changes atmospheres. Hallelujah. That changes situations, because we know we've been anointed and purposed for this. You sent a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Hallelujah. How many know God has a way of revealing hearts? Amen. Hallelujah. A way of revealing hearts. That's not always an easy process, but it's necessary. And there was one Anna. Everybody say Anna. A prophetess. She was a prophetess. She was a female preacher. In Matthew. Under the old covenant. And there was an Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's another one of those scriptures where she's old. She's getting up there in years. But she's believed the promises of God. She's been faithful to her post. She believes in prayer and fasting. She has spent her days in the temple. How many are thankful for examples of people in your life that have spent their time on their knees or spent some time in prayer and fasting, or have spent time in the temple praying for you that you are where you are today? Hallelujah. How many are thankful for praying grandmas? Praying mothers, praying fathers, hallelujah. Somebody in your life that dared to believe in you and dared to pray over you, hallelujah. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Hallelujah. I mean, you know what Anna's name means? Grace. The name Anna means grace. Aren't you thankful for when grace shows up? Hallelujah. In that instant, the scripture says, Anna came. In that instant, grace came. Hey, Mario, how many are thankful that when baby Jesus came, grace came? Yeah. Hallelujah. That we receive grace. We receive the grace of God. You sang about it this morning. Do you believe in it? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, But now I see. Hallelujah. Thankful for the amazing grace of God, not just mercy, but the grace of God that is not just, you know, we use grace as, I don't know what we use grace sometimes for. We sometimes limit grace to our own actions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I have grace of God, and God will forgive me from... Grace is something more than a pardon from your own actions. Grace is an empowerment to live righteous, to live spirit-filled, to live a God-empowered, spirit-filled, born-again life through Jesus. We have the grace to do that. Hallelujah. And that grace does not entice me to do things that are uncomely or that would cause me to be weakened or drawn aside to other things. Grace empowers me to trust Him even more in my life to fill every void that I have. Amen. Hallelujah. Bishop once said, what is it that spirit-filled, born-again Christians need outside of God for fulfillment? Amen. Everything that we have in Christ Jesus. And we live out of that spirit-filled life. The scripture says, in Him I live and move and have my very being. Hallelujah. The life that I live after the Son of God who died and gave His life for me. Hallelujah. So grace came and said when she came into the temple, she intercepted that baby. And grace and truth united. Jesus said, I am truth. And the truth will make you free. And so that when Anna held that baby in her arms, grace and truth united. Hallelujah. But how many are glad for the scripture says that they both perceived and came to the temple that day because they were hearing. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge us this year and this year to come to be sensitive to the hearing of the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. My prayer of late has been, Lord, I need to hear You. I need to hear Your voice. I want to hear and know beyond a shadow of a doubt what Your desire is for me, the direction You would have me to go. Hallelujah. I like that song we started out with, Set a Fire Down in My Soul That I Can't Contain and I Can't Control. Hallelujah. Are you ready for that this morning? Are you ready for a fire, a stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart that says, you know what? This isn't even about me. This is something divine that the Holy Spirit is doing in me that's stirring my heart. He's stirring my emotions. He's stirring my hunger. He's stirring my thirst for the things of God that I desire more and more things of Him. But Lord, fine-tune my hearing that I can hear what You're saying to me, what You're speaking to me, what Your direction is. How many believe that the Lord will speak to you? He can speak to you. We said this before. The Lord will speak to you in finances. I believe He can direct your finances. I believe He can direct your steps. I can believe He can direct your career choices, your colleges, your marriage, your relationships, your children. Hallelujah. Monty and I were talking this morning about the kids being in college. How many know you get some real prayer time over your children? Your children teach you to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray. Teach us to pray. Hallelujah. And probably some of the most earnest prayers of seeking God I ever did was over my children. And my children's children. Amen. Hallelujah. Where we entrust God with everything that is precious to us. And we begin to have that communication and prayer time and say, God, I'm going to trust You. God, I'm seeking Your ways. Lord, I yield to You. I bring this sacrifice to the temple as Mary and Joseph did with baby Jesus. And said, Lord, here He is for Your work, for Your will, for Your purpose, for Your calling. Whatever You desire in their life, Lord, that You bring to pass what You desire. Hallelujah. Hearing. Simeon, he who hears, and Anna. How many know our hearing must be mixed with grace? And then we can speak what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. Our desire for ourselves and for our children, that we wax strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God upon us all. Hallelujah. How many know hearing takes training? Hallelujah. If you play an instrument, how many know you have to learn to hear? You have to learn to hear not only what other instruments are doing, but what your instrument needs to do. You have to have an ear to hear. If you play by ear, what we call by ear, my mom says we play by letter. We open her up and let her fly. And that's the way we do it. But how many know you can play by chords or you can play by ear? And by ear, you kind of find your way through without the chords. It's more of a chord pattern. But how many know you've got to be able to hear that? You've got to be able to hear the changes. You got to be able to hear the harmony lines. You got to be able to hear the steps and all of those kind of things. And it doesn't happen overnight. You have to train your ear to do it. You have to train your ear to hear it. Hallelujah. There are some people who have what they call perfect pitch. They can hit a key and tell you what the key without an instrument. And there are those who have an ear that when it starts to sing, a song starts, they automatically know what the harmony line on that is. If you understand what I'm saying this morning, some people say, how do you know how to sing harmony? You hear it. You just hear it. It's there because you have an ear. You have an ability to be able to do that, but you have an ear to hear. And so, I mean, we have to train our ear to hear. We have to train our ear to listen. I'm one of those people that that you can start talking about something, and if I'm not careful, I get distracted and my mind goes another direction. And before I know it, I've developed three other thought lines, and then I realize where I'm at, and I got to come back to, am I the only one in the room that's ever had to do that? I've read three pages in that book, and I don't have a clue what it says because something on the TV just sparked my interest, and now my mind is there. My eyes are reading, but my mind is not connected to what I'm doing. So I have to train myself to go back to where I left off and find out what that said, or I have to train myself to focus, to listen, to hear. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes in our relationships and husbands and wives will say, did you hear me? Or I told you that. No, you didn't. I did. You just didn't what? Hear me. I'm the only one in the room I know that does that. So I'm just bringing this up because I know that I'm speaking to myself. But how many know that's really the point of what we're saying? There's a difference in knowing that there's noise in the room and hearing, having an ear to hear what the Spirit says. How many know Elijah was listening, waiting for God to speak? And he said he was put him in the cleft of the rock, and he said there was an earthquake, and there was a shaking, and there was a rumbling, and there was noise, and all this kind of stuff. He said, but God wasn't in all of that. What was he in? He was in the still small voice. Yep. How many know sometimes the most powerful voice in your life is the still small voice when everything else is silenced around you enough where you can hear what thus saith the Lord to you? What is God speaking to you? Because sometimes if you're not careful, you'll wait and let God and depend on other people to hear from God. When God wants a personal relationship with you and wants to speak with you, how will he speak to you? Sometimes in the still small voice. Sometimes he'll speak to you through his word. When you go to open a scripture for the day and it falls right to the place and you say, that was just God, because I know that's God speaking to me today. He might speak to you in worship. He might speak to you in conversation with somebody else where somebody just comes along and quotes a scripture to you and you say, that's exactly what the Lord was speaking to me today. That's got to be confirmation. I mean, he can speak prophetically to you. There's a whole lot of ways God speaks to us. Hallelujah. And you know, we have giftings in this house and different ministries and things in this house. And I want to challenge you to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to this house. And let's not be comfortable with just going through a routine or coming in and doing the same old, same old. Let's listen for what the Spirit wants to do in amongst us in the house. Amen. I believe there's miracles in the house. I believe there's healing in the house. I believe there's encouragement in the house. Hallelujah. And we all have giftings and talents and things that are the treasures of this house, that if we'll be sensitive to His Spirit, He will speak to us through those things. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 10 and 7. Go ahead and put up 10 and 17, I think. Robert, I won't need it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. How many know hearing is a faith builder? And through faith, we hear. Hallelujah. One of the greatest obstacles I think of people hearing is think, well, I don't know that God will speak. I know God will speak. I just don't know if God will speak to me. Or I don't know if I'm holy enough for God to speak to me. Or I don't know if I'm righteous enough. I've had people say, I don't know. I know that God can heal. I just don't know if He'll heal me because I've got things in my life. How many know sometimes we put up our own roadblocks and our own obstacles when God says, as far as the east is from the west, I remember your sins no more. That when we lay those things at the feet of Jesus, He receives them and they no longer become roadblocks between us and God. Hallelujah. And so we have direct access to Him. The scripture says we can come boldly to Him, become before the throne of grace, come boldly before the throne of God to receive grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Anna means grace. Hearing mixed with grace brings forth the Messiah. Embrace it, touch it, receive it. It's what you've been waiting on. Hallelujah. How many know Zechariah, Elizabeth, Anna, Simeon were all vital and very much needed in this time and season? But how many know they were ushering in something else? The new, Mary, Joseph, John. It was a beginning of new, a new commandment, a new testament, a new covenant. How many know we always need those who will train the new and give opportunity to the new? Somebody said success without successors is no success at all. I mean, one of the things as parents we do is train our children to follow behind us to be successful adults. Amen. It's the same thing in ministry. We have to give opportunity and space for others to be trained and to step into the next phase of the vision that God wants to do. Amen? How many know Anna and Simeon can only take it so far? But there's a new generation that comes along that has new vision, new excitement, new energy. We need the wisdom of the old and the energy of the young. Amen? Hallelujah.
Step forth and take over, and the transition was easy. There was no bickering, there was no confusion, there was no rebellion against what we were doing or anything. But it was God's timing, and we knew that it was God's timing. We heard God say it was, and when those things happen in that order, the transition is not hard. It's not difficult, and that's what God's plan is for creation. From our motive and our view and our desire has been from the beginning to teach the next generation, and that's been for what, 30 years that our desire was in that, and it's continuing. So nothing has changed except the leadership, and the leadership has taken us farther than what we could have. We brought you to where we new, and then began to transition to the new and the next step in the ministry here. And it's amazing when you hear God's voice, and there's no struggle to it. It just simply takes over. It's just like nothing ever changed or ever happened. But you know there's a difference whenever you hear from God. You you know when you've heard from God. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to hear. You know, I've known ministries that knew their time was up, but wouldn't step down and wouldn't give it over to the next generation, and those ministries failed. And so I just thank God, you know, that there's no competition, there's no, you know, nothing like that ever happened. It was just a smooth transition because we knew that's what God wanted. And we wanted what God wanted.
Amen. So there should always be a desire to train the next generation and to give opportunity. Amen, to successors in ministry, whatever branch of ministry you're in, and not just ministry in the church, even in the workplace, even in your homes, and how you teach and train and all of those kind of things. Hallelujah. One of the worst things that we can do is to do everything for those under us so that they never have to develop their own wings to fly. Amen. The bird in a storm does not fret if the branch is going to break because their confidence is not in the branch. It's in their ability to fly. And so we teach and we train so that when the time comes to fly, you know you got it in you. You have the ability to do that. And your confidence is not where you are. It's where your wings have the ability to take you to. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I love the fact that Simeon makes a statement. He says, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace because I have confidence that the vision is in good hands." Yeah. That's a powerful statement to me. Scripture says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, we use that a lot of times with the spare the rod, spoil the child, you know, and in discipline in children. And I believe that is very, you know, I believe that we do train our children in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. But I also believe it means children in ministry and children in whatever area of their life. Immaturity, those who are in immature stage need to be trained, hallelujah, how to function in their adulthood as an adult. Hallelujah. And so he said, continually said to them, "He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying." The whole book of Revelation is, he continually says to the church of Ephesus or to the church of Corinth or to the church, he's speaking to the churches, but he says to them, "He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the church." Understand that the whole book of Revelation is understood by spiritual things, a revelation. And it tells us at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, it is the revealing of Jesus Christ and the work and person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, and we'll close with this one. Jesus gives a lot of instruction in Matthew chapter 7. He gives instruction on giving, on, you know, how to act and just a lot of good teaching and all of that kind of stuff in Matthew chapter 7. And then he goes along and says, "And he who hears these words of mine and doeth them. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house on the rock." Now, we mostly start out by saying a wise man builds his house on the rock. But that's really not what he's saying in this scripture, just that a wise man builds, and a wise man does build his house on a rock, a firm foundation, a solid foundation. We know that that foundation is Christ Jesus. But what he's really saying, a wise man is a person who hears the sayings of Jesus and doeth them. I'm going to liken him unto, he's a wise man. Because then he's established his house on a rock or a firm foundation. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. He who hears the word but does not heed the word is a foolish man because he's establishing his house on sand. And guess what happens? Same thing as happens to the house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. How many know he's not just talking about just a house? He's talking about the house of Israel in this scripture, really, when he says great was the fall of it because they heard these words of mine, but they did not heed these words of mine. And the rains come, and the winds blow, and the waters rise. Amen? How many know sometimes rains just come? Floods just come. Storms just come. The difference is the house that's established on a rock can weather the storm. The house that's established on the sand cannot withstand the storms, and they're wiped out or blown away. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Is that the last one? Last verse there. All right. Wise man and foolish man. It's not just about the builder here on the rock or the sand. It's about he who hears these sayings of mine and heeds them or doeth them. I'll liken him to a wise man. A wise man hears the voice of the Father. A wise man heeds instruction. A wise man learns how to build on a solid foundation. Hallelujah. Wise man hears the word and does those things. So my challenge to you today and in the coming year is to hear God in your life, in every area of your life. A challenge to hear God in your giving, hear God in your outreach, in your ministry, in your prayer life, in your worship. Let God speak to you. When you come into this house for service and worship and prayer, let him speak to you. Be open. Be vulnerable. Say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. What do you want to say to me today? Yes. Hallelujah. He'll never call you to do anything he doesn't equip you to do. If he's called you to it, he'll equip you for it. Hallelujah. I appreciated Arlene's obedience this morning. She said it wasn't really what she wanted to do, but she was obedient to the word. And I appreciate that. Hallelujah. But yet I felt the anointing in her prayer. Yes. See, we have more in us than we know. But yet if it's not challenged or pulled out of you, just so I just say to you, submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a willing vessel to you. Use me in whatever way you would have me to be, because I'll submit to you that if we follow what God's plan is for our life, he will take us to heights and places in him that we've desired, that we had no idea that we could get there or we could go. And say, Lord, I didn't know I had it in me. I didn't know you had it in store for me. Hallelujah. But I'm willing and I'm open and I present myself. Stand with me this morning. There are no small vessels in this house. There are no small empty vessels in this house. But everybody in this house has something to present. Hallelujah. Something to offer in this house. Hallelujah. Present your treasure and your talent to him and let him multiply that. Hallelujah. And see where he wants to take you. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His son.